Hello, thank you for joining us for the Charity Digital podcast on working from home. In January 2020, we heard whispers about a virus. In February of that year, the whispers became anxious chatter. Come early March, the first event cancellations were announced. By the end of March, the UK was in lockdown, which was followed months later by a second one. And we are currently in the midst of the third and hopefully final lockdown. The social distancing restrictions that came with COVID-19 forced a period of digital acceleration on the charity sector, pushing organisations to adapt to the new normal. Zoom replaced meeting rooms, Miro replaced brainstorming sessions, and Teams and Slack replaced coffee break chats. Today we want to talk about one of the key ways charity professionals have met the new normal. We want to look at how we at Charity Digital have adapted when working from home, offer some tips and tricks, and talk about how we've confronted certain problems. Speaking of problems, this podcast takes place entirely over Zoom, so apologies for any issues with sound quality, connectivity, or the sound of cats or building works in the background. Our guests today are all Charity Digital employees. Lisa Chamette, Business Development Manager. Chris Hall, Marketing Manager. Stuart Barber, Client Account Specialist, and Sasha Dabalia, Marketing Intern. Before we get into the specifics of working from home, I'd like to kick us off with a pretty broad question, which is, what does your day look like when you work from home?
Well, I guess I'll take that one first. And I think I couldn't go on without saying it's really nice to be on this side of the podcast for a change. I've forever been the host, or for most I've been the host. So it's nice to be on the other side as a guest. I've never actually done it before. That kind of dawned on me about 10 minutes before. I've never been a guest on a podcast before. It's kind of like always a bridesmaid, never the bride type of thing. But so forgive me if I'm feeling awfully excited at the minute. But yeah, so I think this is quite a difficult question to answer because it forever changes for me. And I think planning my day and like what a work from home day looks like, I think I want to kind of take it back to the very start of lockdown, because it's not been something that's been a particularly good thing, I don't think. I think I really struggled in the beginning with you know, getting used to not going to the office, and you know, taking that time to self-care, taking that time away, stepping away from the computer, just kind of by nature of who I am. So I don't kind of want to dig into what I do, but more what I do sort of from an individual level. But I think coming at from a different way, I think what the whole change really, really highlighted to me was, you know, the necessary and the huge level of support I needed to give the team as being sort of a team manager as well. And take that back right to the very start, you know, making sure that they all had the necessary equipment to be able to work from where they were, wherever it was, be it a home or bedroom, that sort of thing. We wanted to make sure they had the right equipment, desk, chair, you know, second screen, keyboards, that sort of thing. And then that, as kind of time has gone on, it's been made sure that they have the level of support that they need to do the job. Well, everybody here is a fantastic employee, so it's on us as a leadership team to make sure they have not just the tools but the level of support as well, be that in, you know, the ability to just sound off when they need to and have a bit of a rant, you know, having an open Zoom policy, so to say, where they can just check in and make sure that, you know, everything's all right with them. And that's been kind of a key thing to structuring my work from home ritual, so to say, is making sure that the support mechanisms are in place for the team to be able to do what we do. And that has been sort of first and foremost from my point of view. That spills over massively into like trust as well. And one thing we've all had to learn is to be able to trust each other, as not just sort of management down, but within our own team environments as well, and colleague to colleague. Trust that your teammates are going to be able to do the work that's being asked of them. And trust that, you know, things are going to be delivered on time. They're going to come to you when they need help. And that's a big one for me in sort of communications, because everyone's had ups and downs during lockdown, but you know, the support mechanisms that are there only work if they're used at the same time. So having that level of trust has been incredibly important. And then it spills over again into the likes of onboarding. We've had to onboard 3 or 4 different people during lockdown, and that's come with its own challenges as well. You know, not being able to be in the same room as somebody that's brand new, you almost feel like it takes 10 times longer to get to know who they are. You don't get to pick up on those little nuanced conversations that people are having when you think your manager's not listening, but he really is. She really is. You know? They really are. It's kind of like everybody's listening, everybody hears what goes, and you pick up that little bits of personality that people don't have. So it's been an interesting one. It really has. But we found that, you know, for all the Zoom fatigue, it's a very real thing, you know, spending that bit of time in the morning. You know, we have our coffee catch-ups that allow us to set ourselves up for the day by having that little bit of banter that we'd usually have in the office, by, you know, talking about the terrible Netflix show that you watched last night, or, you know, admitting the fact that you've eventually been sucked into reality TV, as I've had to do quite recently. It's making sure you allow the time to not lose those little bits of motivation that you get in the office, that has really kind of formed the main structure of my day. That was a really long-winded answer, but that's the sort of excitement I was talking about before as being a guest. So I'm going to shut up now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that nicely leads to what I was kind of thinking. I think about that sort of coffee catch up. That was super important for me. I've only obviously been here for 4 weeks, so I'm still learning a lot about the job role, especially as an intern. It is quite different to kind of going into a new company. But kind of knowing your stuff, I'm firstly trying to go into a new company and learn more about the sort of field that I want to work in all remotely. So it is quite tough. And I think it can be really strange kind of trying to pick up all the little kind of things that you normally wouldn't even think about if you were in the office. So I said before how, like lunch breaks, when do we do that? What's the etiquette? The last place that I worked at is very different to here, but I didn't know how to kind of figure that out apart from just straight up asking someone, which seems kind of weird. Like, a lot of the questions that you have to ask when you're working from home just do sound weird sometimes, but I think just being open to the fact that it's going to be uncomfortable, you're going to feel a bit stupid at times, is so important. And I think those coffee catch-ups that we have, you know, every few times a week, they were so great just for me to get a better understanding of the tone of the company. I think a really great thing that I think a lot of, you know, if you do have a small team, a small organization, a great thing to do if you do have people who are new kind of joining remotely is to have a 15-minute intro chat with the team individually, because that's such a great way to understand where your place is in the company. It helped me to kind of bridge all the because Charity Digital do so much stuff, so it really helped me to kind of understand what was going on, bridge all of those gaps, and also just get to know people. It's a lonely time sometimes, lockdown, isn't it? So I think just actually being able to chat to people you've never met before, have a bit of social interaction, that was really great for me as well.
Yeah, agree. Bouncing back on two points. I think being part of the team, being made like you are actually part of the team is, I think, very important, especially for people like me who work on their own, who don't have like a specific team. I think it's been very great and very important to make sure that you were part of the catch-ups, the coffee breaks, or the Friday the Friday Zooms as well, because yes, like you said, Sasha, it is very lonely. And the first lockdown, obviously we're number three now, but the first lockdown I was literally on my own because my partner still had to go to work. So it was really important for me to still be able to chat with the team and to really feel like, I belong to the whole organization. And I'd say for me, what's been, and for many of us, I think what's been very important is to keep the routine. So even though you can start a little bit, you can go to bed a little bit later and wake up a little bit later because you don't have the commute, which I don't miss at all. I still made a point to kind of wake up always, at the same time as if I was going to work. So that time I would have spent commuting, I decided quite early to go for a walk you know, before starting to work. So that kind of keeping rituals, dressing up for work, I think we're going to delve into that a bit later. But I think that also helped me quite a lot. It's still helping me to keep that, you know, that sense of normality.
So I think for me, the biggest change with sort of coming towards working from home more often than previous was the fact that I felt that I've had to open my home up to my customers. I work as part of the customer service team. So I speak to people over the phone and via email all day, every day. And at the beginning, we all made that very big effort to move our services online as much as possible. And I was one of the people that you were calling for that assistance. And a little bit felt at times that I had a troop of people traipsing through my home, my safe space. And that was a little bit of something that I had to get used to. I kind of combated that with actually setting up a very dedicated workspace in my home and making sure it wasn't visible at the end of days and things like that. The other thing that I really have to do to plan my day is I work on the same desk space as my partner. Luckily, we don't have to contend with any homeschooling or anything like that. But a big part of my morning is planning when I'm going to need to be taking meetings and calls and when he's needing to take meetings and calls. So we're not clashing and trying to talk over each other at times. So we're currently in the situation where the bedroom is designated as meeting room one and we have to compare schedules there.
Thank you for your answers. It sounds like everyone's experiencing something similar, but dealing with it in different ways, which leads us to the next question, which is how you generally stay motivated. I know that's the biggest challenge, I think, for me working from home is I'm always sort of getting up and struggling a little bit to get into the day, whereas when you enter an office, you enter a new space where you have that defined moment, but also importantly, keeping other people motivated. So I just thought if you had any tips, tricks, or anything you do specifically that you could maybe share with us and people could learn from that.
This is one of the hardest things. I think that's come out of lockdown. And to go against what Lisa's just said, and I truly commend her for being able to get up and go out and walk, because it's one thing I've really been quite bad at. I've never struggled for motivation for work, and I think that stems from a few things. What I struggle with is the switching off side of it, but to keep on, that's probably a different podcast all in itself, so I'm not going to go down that road, but you know, that I mentioned trust before, and I do think that's a really big thing. And I think if your team members are trusted, they will be motivated to work more. Likewise, if I feel trusted and I feel like I can trust, it's much easier to get up and do what you need to do. But that's just a small part of it. I mean, over the course of the lockdown, it's little things that have come into play and made me realise that there are certain things that you need to do to be able to keep pushing yourself on, because some people in that commuting time are working instead. So a lot of people are finding themselves working longer and big sort of building up a little bit of resentment. Honest communication and having that safe space to be able to communicate with whoever, you know, that doesn't always have to go up the funnel and go down and go sideways. Just having that office buddy, so to say, to be able to vent to is incredibly important to just release a bit of tension and be able to carry on. One of the things that I do is really be planned. So I plan my next day out the night before, so I've got no surprises. That doesn't mean to say that there isn't any surprises coming, because there always is. But then I know I've got time to be able to flex and manage that in and be able to pull people in, delegate wherever I needed to. You know, there are some great tools that are in play now to be able to cross-collaborate with people and talk to each other and G each other up a little bit more. You know, Teams being one we use, Slack could be another one. For bigger project management style projects, you could use like Asana, Trello, that sort of thing. But there's a lot to be said for the pen and paper as well. And one of the biggest motivations I have is the physical action of taking my pen Next, putting it next to a task and ticking the bloody thing off. I absolutely love it. No matter how big or small, it could be something tiny, like send one email to such and such. But when it's done, ticking that thing off is a crucially important step. That'll geez you up for the next one.
I think most of us are pen and paper fans.
Oh, yes.
There, Chris.
Yes.
We've all got our pads in front of us.
It's not quite the same as ticking the little click button on Trello to make it. You don't quite get the same. And I totally advocate for Trello. So don't get me wrong. You just don't get that same sense of, oh, it's done, it's gone. Scribble it out. Maybe it's
the
level of aggression I'm etching my paper with. I'd say more about me than anything else. But yeah. My sort of last thing that, or maybe last two things that I find really important is when planning my day, I always bulk tasks around certain things. So I'm a big advocate, and my team will probably sick of me saying this, but work life's about 50% doing what you want and 50% doing what the organisation needs you to do. And it's finding those balance. And often the needs are the less enjoyable tasks. So it's making sure you sort of sandwich those want tasks in between need tasks, so you don't get fatigue and boredom with the tedium avoidance. There's my sports psychology, Jesus, are you coming into it? That tedium avoidance side of it, where you're keeping yourself motivated with various tasks. And then the last thing is, is as a team, as an organization, is just spending time to get to know each other. You, regardless of whether you're in the office or not, you spend a great deal amount of time with the people you work with. And I'm finding even more so virtually, you can't really ignore someone when they're sat on the other end of a Zoom call. So it helps to get to know them. You don't have to get on with people, but it really helps. And it does kind of make it a lot easier to get through day to day. And it builds that level of trust. It builds that, everything I've kind of been talking about already. So that being able to spend a bit of time with each other, celebrate successes, high five, and have a beer over Zoom at the end of a busy week is crucially important as well.
Yeah, or Prosecco.
Or Prosecco, or whatever takes you.
Or whatever. Oh, yes, no alcoholic as well, obviously.
Sorry about that. How about you, Lisa?
Well, what can I add after you almost said it all, Chris.
I apologise.
I think, and also think about maybe people listening to us who have, thinking about fundraisers. Sometimes fundraisers have, in small organizations, they're on their own. Like Chris said, I think it's vital you're in touch with everybody. You keep communicating, you keep sharing your struggles or your frustrations, because that's something you would do in the office, but you still need that channel to be able to do it online. And I think that is very important, because you can vent your frustration to your cat and your dog or your partner, but they might not be the same response, or they might not understand similarly. So yeah, I think for me, it's really keeping all these, we're using Teams, sometimes WhatsApp, and emails, but yeah, essentially keeping that all these lines of communications open and having moments during the week where we can vent. So we have two of these during the week, called that let off steams. And they're very great. We can chat about anything. We can vent if we want, and yeah.
Usually food or TV.
Yeah, food or TV. Yeah.
I think for you, Lisa, it's like I often have felt quite a lot of sympathy throughout the year, because as you mentioned earlier, you're a one-person team, and there's a lot of self-motivation that comes with that. And I think one of the things you've had to do really well is just put yourself in places to feed off other people as well. You don't quite have, there's eight of us who can all go and lean on each other, and the way you've just kind of ingrained and indoctrinated yourself into it has been great, and shows like how strong your self-motivation is, I think.
Yeah, well, thank you. sometimes, at the beginning it was hard. And yesterday I was thinking, because I was also doing the parallel with maybe some jobs within other charities where you have to talk to people and ask them for support or for some funding. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning of the lockdown, it was all, we're not doing anything. Like, all the replies I was getting was no, no, we can't do anything, or we're not spending any money, no, nothing. And yeah, it is really can be a hit to, you know, to your motivation, and you're like, what am I doing here? Is it, you know, what can we do? What else can we do to, you know, to carry on working? And I think, you know, having this motivation and having, you know, the amazing team, you know, has been very helpful. So yeah, make sure that you can always chat with your team and not being afraid of, you know, venting your frustration if you have a bit dip in motivation. You know, it's perfectly normal. None of this situation is normal. We've been living for almost a year. So yeah, it's okay.
It's okay to not be okay.
It's really okay, exactly.
I have a slightly different way of going around maintaining motivation. It happens outside of work hours, which I think perhaps is, you know, the case for quite a few people in terms of trying to get a bit of self-care in there. I decided before I started work, so I had about 5 months off before starting work again. I had a long time to create a formula of feeling motivated for things that I want to do or need to do. So essentially, I asked myself a question, you know, in this day, what do I need to do to fulfill myself? So obviously you do spend however many hours working, but then outside of that, if you find fulfillment in doing some arts and crafts, doing a bit of exercise, having some time for yourself, noting those things down. And then I actually have a little calendar that I allocate to each day where I'm like, okay, I'm going to do that thing. And I think that just really helps me. Firstly, you know, you can go to bed at night and be like, my whole day wasn't just revolved just around doing work, or, you know, I didn't just sit in front of the TV all evening. But if that works for you, that's fine. But, you know, if that doesn't, you know that you can go to bed feeling a little bit more peaceful about it, and also probably wake up feeling slightly more rejuvenated, and also just feeling like you can be present and active during your work hours. So I think that's what really helps me to sort of kind of knuckle down and get to it. And also a bit of a random one, but I think the physical aspect of being sat at a desk without doing that walk to work and back or whatever. I mean, I used to walk 50 minutes to work and back, and then cutting that out completely, is it can take a bit of a physical toll on your body. So getting those stretches in, that's definitely something that helps me to feel good. Yeah.
Your Zoom name should have been Sasha the Greatest Crochet. But no, I think you raise a great point. And one I forgot to mention earlier is that, yeah, I found new ways to kind of sort of clear some headspace after work. And I think I was telling you all when we were talking about this the other day, is I game more than I've ever done in my entire life, and I was a bit of a passive gamer you know, for most of the 30 years that I've been around. And then ever since lockdown, it's kind of been, you know, it's almost ramping up. You know, I work, it's ramped, well, it's not almost ramped up, it has ramped up exponentially. And I work 18 hours a day in my bedroom, a tiny one bedroom flat in London, you know. So my missus works in the kitchen in the other room in the house, so it, when it comes to the both finished, we kind of want to swap and go and, you know, sort of sit in different rooms. But for my mental health, that escapism that comes with playing games has been massive, you know. And I jokingly, you know, said to all you, and I say this, literally say this to my missus, I'll go, oh, I'm going to be a Viking for an hour when I want to go and play Assassin's Creed Valhalla, just to live in a different world and not think about not being able to go outside. And or what I've not done that day at work is so important, that role-playing aspect to gaming is one of the things that's seen it boom, not just from a mental health perspective, but as a charity fundraising mechanism as well. Got plenty of other podcasts on that, so I'll stop that there. But yeah, Sasha, that's an awesome point. It's about finding the things and planning them into your day so you have that same level of release that you get from a, you know, listening to a silly podcast on a commute like this one.
Yeah, something to look forward to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think also go outside the box. My brother bought some lino. I don't even know what that was.
Yes, I do that as well, lino printing.
I've done it once and it's really hard and I hurt my head. Stuart.
I don't really know what I can add. I can kind of pick up things from what sort of each person has said. Like Lisa, I haven't particularly changed my routine on the time of the morning I get up or anything like that. Unfortunately, I am an inherently kind of lazy person when it comes to exercise, so it's not my thing. But I also am a chronic gamer. I've pretty much always got a gamepad in my hands if I'm not working. So I actually use that time in the morning, like many people did over the first sort of part of 6 months of lockdown, playing a game called Animal Crossing on my Switch, which is really calm. There's no combat. And I actually felt that it was kind of a mindfulness exercise, sort of a morning routine. I'd get up, I'd have my cup of coffee, I would check my post in my video game, do a little bit of farming. So that's kind of been one of my ways of escaping from work, if you like. The other thing that I find is, because I speak to customers all day and I'm used to having my team sat around me, that they hear how phone calls go, or they know how busy it is. So if you've had to deal with something that's been more difficult or something like that, they've been able to tell by the tone of your voice. But that separation from not being around everybody kind of leaves you floating in the sea a little bit. So again, we go back to that communication. We have very active group chats. So we're like letting people know, that was a difficult phone call, I'm going to take 5 minutes, something along those lines. The other thing that I found really helped, part of my duties is, if you like, I look after our Trustpilot reviews, and I really love to share those. When we get one that has a real personal message, and that you can see that you've made a difference, how a charity's run, how they've been able to reach their service users. And to me, that is one of the biggest things, that thank you that I get from my customers. It's like, we understand they're going through a difficult time. We're going through that same thing there. And actually for them to take that couple of minutes when we know how busy everyone is to say thank you, to talk about their experience, actually really bucks me up. And being able to share that with the team really helps as well.
Well, that's lovely. It's great to know you're doing a good job. It seems so disconnected sometimes, doesn't it? And it's nice. On the final note, the final question I'm going to ask is actually a bit more practical, and it's about remote working and security, essentially with cybersecurity. So I just kind of want to know if you've taken any personal steps to support your system, secure your system, and if you have any advice for the listeners that might help them do the same, essentially.
Yeah, I'm asked this all day, every day, and my very basic advice is, you need to secure your home system like your office system would be secured. You need your endpoint protection. You need to have a look at your router and whether you've just left it with out of the box settings. I'm a bit of a nerd, so I'm kind of on top of that type of stuff already. If you're working with your organizational data, you need to protect it as well as it would be protected in your usual place of work.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And not many people have realised that the onus has kind of switched to them now being at home. There's so much more opportunity for cyber criminals now, with the multiple devices that have come into play, spread all over different sort of IP addresses and everywhere else. So if you don't know what you need to do to make yourself secure, it's really important to get in touch with someone who does, who can help you, whether it's an internal IT person, or some people like the NCSC or ourselves. You know, we have a bunch of content on our site that'll help you get up to speed with what required, you know, what is required of you to be able to secure your systems remotely. I also want to mention at this point that, you know, to be quite candid, as you know, as publishers of digital content, we have seen a huge drop in engagement with cybersecurity content, which is understandable in some ways, because there's many other things that we've got to focus on and keeping ourselves to survive this. And as human beings, I've said on a podcast before, we are survivors. However, it's really important not to forget about cybersecurity. It's almost critically important. The amount that, you know, the amount of danger you essentially expose yourself to by not being correctly protected is, can be exponentially damaging to a charity in terms of data loss, loss of funds and everything else that comes with that. And we are seeing a heightened approach by cyber criminals at the minute on charities specifically, because they know that it's not as big as a priority as it once was, because they know we're a lot more vulnerable than we once were, by not having sort of one site, you know, people, everybody on one site and all secure, all devices in a secure location. They know we're more vulnerable. They know we store mass amounts of data, and they know that mass amount of data costs money. So it is incredibly important, I think, in it is incredibly important to start protecting yourself from what's out there. And like I said, you know, if you don't know, get in touch with us, get in touch with the National Cybersecurity Center, and learn how to.
And if I can just add, you know, if you have some suspicious emails that are coming in, don't be afraid to ask. Obviously we're missing the spontaneity of asking your colleague sitting opposite you, oh, did you just send me an email? But I think it's, you know, you have to make an extra effort of going onto Teams or Slack or whatever and check again, and don't hesitate to ask questions and to be extra cautious, because, you know, it can happen sometimes more easily than one thing. And yeah, we need to remain extra vigilant and, you know, stay, always remain in touch within, you know, all of us, and make sure that we're not doing anything untoward. So there's no wrong questions, and if we don't know, then, like we said, resources on the internet, IT suppliers, IT manager, they're great.
Charity Digital.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, we have a lot of resources. In fact, for everything we've talked about today, and I just want to say firstly, thank you to all our guests for your lovely comments and helping us with all your tips and advice and your interesting working from home lives, or semi-interesting, just because there's not much to do. I would say we have plenty of articles that you can read on all of this. So whether you're interested in self-care and the stuff to make sure you're looking after your mental health, or whether you want a digital detox, we have loads of articles for that. And particularly if you want tips and tricks or anything to do with cybersecurity, we have plenty there. Very simple advice, which will allow you to secure your remote systems. So check out the website. We'll put some resources on the podcast page. And just again, thank you to our guests for their wonderful comments. And thanks to all our listeners for joining us on the Charity Digital podcast. Please reach out if you have any questions and thoughts about working from home. Thanks all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers, everyone. Thank you.